This podcast is brought to you by Bethany Trinity Presbyterian Church. Thanks for listening.
Next up, we'll be having our scripture reading. Our scripture reading this morning is from the Old Testament prophet Isaiah, chapter 9, verses 1 to 7. Sister Caris will be reading God's word for us. Please, let us listen to the promise of the coming King.
Good morning, church. Today's scripture reading is taken from the book of Isaiah, chapter 9, from verse 1 to 7. If you are using the church Bible, it will be on page 694. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 1. Nevertheless, there will be no more gloom for those who were in distress. In the past, he humbled the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali. But in the future, he will honor Galilee of the nations by the way of the sea beyond the Jordan. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. You have enlarged the nation and increased their joy. They rejoice before you as people rejoice at the harvest, as warriors rejoice when dividing the plunder. For as in the day of Midian's defeat, you have shattered the yoke that burdens them, the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor. Every warrior's boot used in battle and every garment rolled in blood will be destined for burning, will be fuel for the fire. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Pastor Nicholas will now bring us God's word.
Good morning, friends. If you have your Bibles open, please keep them open to Isaiah chapter 9. And welcome, if you are new with us this morning, welcome to our friends on Zoom. I'm going to pray to ask God to help us understand Him through His Word today. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for speaking to us in the Bible. Please help us to hear you speak through your Word today. In Jesus' name, Amen. Injustice frustrates us. I was frustrated by the injustice that I saw in this book. It's called The Empire of Pain. So if you're not a reader, if you're more into watching videos, it's dramatized in this series, A Painkiller. So this book describes how a pharmaceutical company made a lot of money selling a very strong type of painkiller. But many people got addicted to these painkillers that the company sold. And the company knew that, and they continued to sell these painkillers. And at the end of the book, the company was sued, and then it declared itself bankrupt. So the people behind the painkillers, behind the company, they escaped serious consequences. I have no stake in this story. I don't know any of the victims, but I felt very disappointed when there seemed to be no justice. I also listened to a true crime podcast on BBC while doing my nightly jogs. And the latest one is about a reporter who investigated a vice ring in Dubai. And through the podcast, she investigated and she found what happened. She found out the mastermind's name and even had evidence against him. Only for him, at the end of the podcast, to hide in another country and escape justice. Closer to home, scammers are always on the prowl for more and more victims. This year, the first half of the year, we had almost 20,000 cases. The victims lost 456 million during this time. Now, sometimes the scammers get caught, sometimes they don't, and there's no guarantee that victims will get their money back. And some of us experience injustice in a smaller scale, at school, at work, or at home, where there are unfair actions by our fellow students, fellow colleagues, even family members. We hate it when injustice wins, because we all have this sense inside of us that the world should be just, right, and fair. Even with my kids will tell me, it's not fair. Why does she get the ice cream and I don't? We all know about fairness, and Christianity cares about justice. In fact, one of the benefits of Christmas is justice. Now, today's passage, we see something about justice. Today's passage from the Bible is written by the prophet Isaiah. Isaiah is a prophet that God sent to his people, to speak to his people, and he lived about 2,700 years before today. God speaks to us through Isaiah today, even though he spoke so long ago, to show us not just what happened in the past, but to show us what's going to happen in future. To show us a future kingdom of justice. So if you have a Bible, look with me at verse 7, Isaiah chapter 9, verse 7. Of the kingdom of the greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. So justice is bound up with Isaiah's future hope, his future kingdom. And this future hope has started to come to pass with Christmas. And Christmas, some of you might know, is when we celebrate Jesus' birth. So Jesus is where we have the hope, the future hope of justice. And today we are starting a series on Jesus, the greatest gift. And we see the different gifts we receive, the different good gifts we receive through Jesus because Jesus came. Today we look at the gift of justice, next week the gift of peace, and on Christmas Day, gift of life. This morning we'll look at the gift of justice, this hope, future hope of justice. So Isaiah will show us what our hope looks like and where our hope comes from. And then we'll think about what this hope means for us. So first, what our hope looks like. In Isaiah chapter 9, Isaiah tells us what the hope that God gives us will look like. Verse 1. Look at me at verse 1. Nevertheless, there will be no more gloom for those who are in distress. In the past, he humbled the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali. But in the future, he will honor Galilee of the nations by the way of the sea beyond the Jordan. The future hope is one of glory, of honor, one with great light. Now, because the people's present in this passage was dark, it was gloomy. Now, what happened to these people? Now, these people, they were God's people. In the past, God saved them from their enemies to be his people. God chose this group to be his own people. But God's people said no to God. They rejected God. They rebelled against God. And they worshipped other gods. They worshipped idols. They didn't trust in God to save them. They trusted in other countries to save them rather than relying on God. So God's people rejected God, who is light. They chose darkness over light. So God let the other countries they trusted defeat them, conquer them, bring dark times over them, to oppress them. Here in our passage, God promises to reverse all that. But God will honor them. God will shine his light on them. Things will be better. Life will start to shine again. Life will shine like the colorful Orchard Road lights. Because in verse 3, God will give them joy. Verse 3, God will cause their nation to, God will enlarge their nation, God will cause their nation to grow. Now, when the enemies oppressed God's people, people died. Their numbers, their population shrank. But God promises in verse 3 to enlarge their nation, to increase their joy. So they rejoice. And now, for their numbers to grow, it means that God must deal with their oppressors. God must deal with their enemies. So in verses 4 to 5, Isaiah shows us what God does to their enemies. Now, God will have a miraculous victory over the enemies that oppress God's people. So in verse 4, this victory will be like the historic victory that God won over another group of people called the people of Midian. Now, this story is recorded for us in the book of Judges in the Bible. Now, in this story, the people of Midian, they defeated God's people. They oppressed God's people. But God's people were gathering to fight back. Now, the people of Midian heard it. So in response, countless Midianites also gathered to attack God's people. And the army of God's people at the start was 32,000 people strong. But God didn't want so many people in this army because God wanted to teach his people that they could rely on him to save them. They don't need to rely on numbers. So God reduced the army from 32,000 to 10,000 to 300. So with this 300 people, God struck fear into the Midianites, the countless Midianites. And all these countless Midianites, they end up killing each other. So God miraculously defeated the uncountable Midianites with just 300 people. So that's the background to this story. So when Isaiah uses Midian, he's saying that God promised in the past that God promised that just as he defeated his enemies in the past, miraculously, God's going to do the same kind of defeat over his enemies now. God's miraculous victory over his enemies will secure eternal peace. Eternal peace that is so great that there's no need for any army equipment. So verse 5 says, every warrior's boot used in battle and every garment rolled in blood will be destined for burning, will be fuel for fire. And wouldn't it be so great if the world was so safe, so peaceful that no army equipment is needed? And when I used to do reservists, we had to regularly maintain our personal army equipment. So we packed our equipment into these small bags and put all these small bags into this one big bag. And one time while packing for my reservists, I realized I haven't maintained my equipment for a long time. So I had this 8-year-old toilet paper that was a health hazard to use. And my army uniform, it had a musky smell, but worst of all, it shrunk. Okay, no, it didn't shrink. I grew bigger. And on top of that, the soles of my army boots, they were all peeling off. Now so I had to regularly maintain my army equipment because Singapore wants us to be always ready to discourage other countries from attacking. And that's how Singapore secures peace. Singapore's army deters potential aggressors from attacking. That's how we secure peace. So in our passage, the future peace is different. The future peace in our passage is where God destroys all enemies. There are no more enemies. So there's no need to store army equipment. There's no need to pack for reservists. Your boots, your uniform in verse 5 can send for incineration. It's destined for burning, fuel for fire. And what's good about removing all these enemies forever? What this means is there will be peace forever. There will be justice forever. There will be no more threats on your life. And that's what our future hope is like. Hope that promises glory, light, joy. Hope where there are no more enemies. Hope where there are no more enemies forever. There's no need to guard myself. There'll be no need to guard myself against those who will hurt me because there'll be none of them. The verse 1 to 5 shows us the future hope, what future hope of justice looks like. When God brings justice, not only on human enemies, but when God brings justice on all physical and spiritual enemies. God will judge everything and everyone opposed to him. And when God does this, everything will be good. Everything will be just. And then we will have glory, light, and joy because God won for us miraculous victory and eternal peace. And you might ask, well, how will God secure this? How will God do this? How will God grant us the future hope of justice? Now, Isaiah's threat was other more powerful countries. So you might expect God to help us through maybe a stronger country, a more powerful country, more powerful weapons, and greater will to use those weapons. But in our passage, God goes the other way. God doesn't secure peace using a superpower with sophisticated nuclear weapons. No, God uses a baby. A baby grants our hope. You see, verse 6 starts with the word for. Or the word for means because. So God's people can have hope of glory, light, joy. God's people can have hope of miraculous victory and eternal peace because or for to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. So God will give this baby boy as a gift to his people. This baby boy will rule over God's people. This baby king is God's way for our hope of justice. And this baby boy has four nicknames. And these four nicknames show us something about this king. Now, the best nicknames tell us something about the person. Like Usain Bolt, the sprinter. His nickname is Lightning Bolt because he runs very fast. He's an Olympic gold medalist, world record holder. Or like Singapore. As people call Singapore the Garden City because there's lots of greenery around. Or people call Singapore a fine city because when you do something wrong, you get a fine. And in our passage today, the baby has four nicknames and they all show us that he's the best king to follow because it's not just human. In the first part of verse 6, a child is born, son is given, he's human, but also he is divine, he is God. So first, Wonderful Counselor. So this baby will be wonderfully wise in leading us, his people. He knows everything. He'll be able to make difficult decisions with his great wisdom. Next, Mighty God. This means that this boy isn't just wise. He doesn't just know everything. He is God. He has God's power. He will use his might as God to protect us, to bring justice for his people. And next, Everlasting Father. But this boy who is king will be close to us, close to his people, like a father is close to his children. And we'll be forever in relationship with him. This boy will love us as a father loves his children. And he will lead his people out of this love. And lastly, Prince of Peace. So this boy will bring peace to his kingdom. This boy's goal, his aims, objective is peace, not tyranny. He will not oppress his people. He will give them peace. So these four nicknames shows us that this boy and king is both human and God. And as God, he's all powerful, all wise, he's eternal. As human, he's on our side. So we can trust that this king will do what's best for us. And he will want to do what's best for us, and he can do what's best for us. And because this king is the eternal God, his kingdom will last forever, will keep multiplying. So verse 7 says, of the greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end. He'll reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. Verse 7 says that there is no end to his rule and peace. This means his rule and peace will not stop in time, will not have a pause button. But more than that, it also means that this perfect kingdom won't just last forever as a small kampong. No, his rule and peace will keep multiplying, will keep growing. More and more people are welcome to be part of his kingdom, to be part of his good rule. So verse 7 also says this increasing rule will be established but with justice and righteousness. So as this king's rule increases, this king will be able to fix more and more injustices. He will judge the wicked oppressors. He will vindicate righteous sufferers. So there will be no escape for the wicked, and there will be great reversal for the righteous. Now, who is this king? Now, this king is Jesus. This boy is Jesus. So Christmas celebrates Jesus' birth. Now, Jesus always existed as God, but Jesus was born as a man but 700 years after Isaiah's prophecy. And Matthew was an eyewitness of Jesus. And Matthew wrote a biography about Jesus, as in our Bibles. But Matthew wrote that Jesus went to the same places in verse 1. We read that just now in our Bible reading. And when Jesus went to these places, Matthew said that Jesus was doing more than just sightseeing. Matthew was looking through God's lens to see what Jesus was doing. And through God's lens, Jesus is fulfilling Isaiah's prophecy. Jesus is a king that will bring justice. Now that's why Matthew quoted Isaiah's prophecy in his biography about Jesus. So this is what Matthew says. When Jesus heard that John had been put in prison, he withdrew to Galilee. Leaving Nazareth, he went and lived in Capernaum, which is by the lake in the area of Zebulun and Naphtali, to fulfill what was said through the prophet Isaiah. Or this is what we read just now. Land of Zebulun, land of Naphtali, the way of the sea, beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. The people living in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. Jesus is the one who comes to these places to bring light to the people in darkness. Jesus is that king who will rule forever. He will bring peace. He will bring justice to his people. And on top of that, Jesus is growing his kingdom. The verse just after verse 16 says, from that time on, Jesus began to preach, repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near. The kingdom of heaven has come near because Jesus the King has come near. And Jesus invites everyone to come into his kingdom. And Jesus calls you, repent, turn away from rebelling against him, turn away from the kingdom of darkness, turn to Jesus as your king. Jesus is the forever king. His kingdom is growing as more and more people believe in him. And when Jesus returns to earth, he will bring perfect justice on all enemies, on all who oppress his people. And Jesus will right every wrong. He will fix every hurt. He'll give justice where there was injustice. And this gift of justice is available for us because Jesus came on the first Christmas. So today we are looking at the gift of justice. We're trying to see what our hope of justice looks like. So it's glory, light, and joy, and there will be miraculous victory and eternal peace. We'll see where our hope comes from. Our hope comes from Jesus, the King. So next, we'll see what this means for us. What this means for us, we long for justice. Justice is what the world needs to bring peace. But I wonder if you notice that there are two sides to justice, what we call justice. So if you are suffering injustice, justice means vindication. It means the wrong is made right. That's how you normally understand justice. Because where Jesus will judge and make things right. But there's also another side of justice. Because justice also can mean judgment. Where Jesus will judge and bring judgment on his enemies. Now, Jesus administers his justice. So Jesus knows what justice is. So there will be some people on the side of justice, of righteousness, of vindication. And there will be some people who will be a side of judgment. They'll be receiving judgment. So will Jesus give us justice or judgment? Oh, it depends. It depends on whether you've joined King Jesus, Jesus' kingdom. To join the just King Jesus as his people, in his kingdom, under his protection, to enjoy his peace. If you have joined Jesus' kingdom, then justice is available for you. Vindication is available for you. But if you're not in Jesus' kingdom, then you're in darkness. If you're not in Jesus' kingdom, then you're his enemy and future judgment awaits. And without Jesus, we are in this joyless darkness. And like people in the passage, we have said no to God who is light. We chose to live in this world of darkness, in this world that oppresses us in darkness. We too need the light that Jesus gives. We need Jesus the light to free us from our darkness. But sometimes this darkness, this oppression, is caused by us. We've made choices long ago that have come back to haunt us. Maybe it's a person or a thing that you've put your trust in that has let you down. But sometimes oppression is caused by others. The people in our lives take from us. They hurt us. They have let us down. And we sense injustice in the world and we cry out for justice. But though we've chosen to reject God, but living in this dark world in rebellion against God is far worse. Perhaps suffering injustice is God's way to show us that our way is wrong. To steer us away from darkness, the darkness of rebellion, to steer us into the light that Jesus gives, the light that came on the first Christmas. Now, King Jesus came to rule over the earth. He'll rule wisely, powerfully, in love for his people to give us peace. And God promised to give light through Jesus to us walking in darkness. And this promise is available for you if you choose to follow Jesus as your king. And this is Jesus' call to you. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near. And whether you rely on Jesus as your king or not, this passage is for you. And God says, your life without him is a life of darkness. There's no hope of justice for you in this world of darkness, this oppressive world. That's why God offers you a better alternative, a better king, an eternal, perfect, divine king who will rule over the world and will bring peace. If you have not believed in Jesus, Jesus still invites you to join his kingdom, to leave the oppressive world and wait in sure hope for the day that he will bring justice. But if you'd like to find out a bit more about Jesus, about joining his kingdom, you can do three things. Okay, so first, A, you can ask. You can ask me or ask the person who brought you a little bit more about Jesus. B, you can pick up one of the booklets. So there are booklets at the tables at the side to find out a bit more about Jesus. So there are different booklets. You can browse. Take what you need. And third, C, you can come back next week. Next week, we'll learn a little bit more about Jesus and the Christmas story. So the first response for us is to join the just king. Next, trust in the just king. If you have believed in Jesus, then Jesus is encouraging you to keep believing in him, keep relying on him, keep trusting him. Remember that the world is oppressive. And though we trust Jesus as our king, we are still tempted to make other things, to rely on other things as our king, to rely on other things to set the rules of life for us, like our pride of being a good student, a good friend, good worker, good boss, good parent, good grandparent, or our pleasure. But these things will demand more and more from us. These things will end up oppressing us to give these idols more. Instead of trusting these false gods, trust in Jesus, in King Jesus in your life. And where you lose out in this life because you follow King Jesus, Isaiah says that Jesus will bring justice one day. But some will escape justice in this present life, but there will be no escape from Jesus as ultimate justice. Now, how should we react when there are injustices in this world, where injustices happen? We must trust in what verse 6 says about Jesus. Verse 6 says that Jesus is the wonderful counselor. He has a perfect view of everyone's thoughts. He fully understands the situation and the motives behind everyone's actions. That's why he'll know how and when to bring justice. Jesus is the mighty God. He has full power to bring full justice at the right time. Jesus is the everlasting Father. He loves us, his people, and he will act out of his love to vindicate us. And Jesus is the Prince of Peace. Jesus' goal, his aim, is peace, not further injustice, not further oppression. And when injustice happens, you cannot bring full justice, perfect justice, ultimate justice to any situation. Because we don't know perfectly like Jesus does. We can't act. We don't have perfect power like Jesus has. But you can still act. You can pray to Jesus to bring perfect justice to the situation. Cry out to God in prayer for Jesus to act. And he will act because he is the just king. So today, what have we seen? We're thinking about the gift of justice from Christmas. We'll see what our hope looks like. There's glory, hope, as glory, light, and joy. Because of God's miraculous victory and eternal peace. And we see where our hope comes from. God grants us justice through King Jesus. King Jesus knows everything as the wonderful counselor. King Jesus has power to bring justice as the mighty God. King Jesus loves his people eternally as the everlasting Father. And King Jesus wants peace for his people as the Prince of Peace. So what this means for us is to stop living in darkness. Join the just King. Trust the just King. So Jesus has come to give us the gift of justice so we don't need to face his judgment. So why not leave your darkness now and enter his light? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for Jesus. He has brought us light into our darkness. Please help us to desire what's best for us. Please help us to desire Jesus' light over our darkness for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Pastor, for delivering us the message today. We'll now take a few minutes to reflect on the message we have heard. The discussion question is on the screen. So just one discussion question we have today. Which quality of Jesus was most striking to you? So please turn to someone sitting near to you and share your thoughts.
Thanks for listening to this podcast brought to you by Bethany Trinity Presbyterian Church. For more information, visit us online at busypc.sg.